Harper Audio presents Ruthless Tide by Al Roker. Read by Myron Willis. Prologue. Mr. Quinn is too fearful. Johnny? Who made the world? The Sunday school teacher asked. That was easy. The Cambria Iron Company, the boy replied. That's the story they liked to tell, anyway, in and around Johnstown, Pennsylvania, in 1889. Little Gertrude Quinn was only 6 that year, and even she, like the fictitious Johnny, knew how important iron and steel and the Cambria Works were to the life that she, her family, and everybody they knew were living. Here in the deep valley of the Connemara River under the abrupt rise of the Allegheny Mountains. At about 3 o'clock p.m., on May 31st, 1889, an explosion of previously unimaginable force would smash that world. 20 million tons of towering water released all at once from high above the town, falling with gathering momentum down the narrow Connemara Valley, picking up houses, factories, forests, railroad tracks, locomotives, livestock, and human beings as it came, would arrive with a roar like nothing heard in Johnstown before. In moments, and then in the horrifying hours that followed, that gigantic, raging thing would destroy thousands of lives, knock down and carry away hundreds of buildings, spread raging chemical fires, and send little Gertrude Quinn on a horrifying journey. It would be the end of the world, and the Cambria Company, which had made that world, would be powerless to stop the destruction. Nobody in Johnstown could see what was coming, of course. They'd grown used to the world that Cambria Company had made, a new world. At 6, Gertrude Quinn wasn't old enough to remember that, not so long ago, there hadn't been much in Johnstown but a sleepy farming village. But grown-ups could remember. That village had been succeeded by a canal town that seemed for its time comparatively bustling and excited, but by 1889 the former excitement seemed like nothing. The canal was defunct, replaced by railroad trains that chugged and screeched day and night along steel rails on the ridges. The foundries and steel mills on the river banks were going almost all the time, their fires sending up a perpetual haze of stink and emitting a steady pound and roar. Men drenched in sweat, the skins darkened by sooty smoke, moved quickly, athletically on those factory floors, shoveling coal, carrying molten metal in long ladles, operating the huge, dangerous rolling machines that pushed out miles of steel rail. Steel rail. That's what made not only Johnstown, Pennsylvania, but the whole nation run, and run in a new way. In a single generation, the United States had become a sprawling, booming power built on speed, noise, and engines, on electricity and steam, on iron, and especially on steel. Cheap steel. Hundreds of thousands of miles of rail carved by rolling mills from the soft, glowing product, cooled to an intense durability, and laid down for track that let engines haul hundreds of cars filled with still more steel. Steel for bridges. For buildings. For a whole quickly rising America where dazzling fortunes were made and hard factory jobs were plentiful. All that had begun here in western Pennsylvania. The Cambria Company made not only the world that Gertrude Quinn and other Johnstowners knew, but the new nation, too. By 1889, the company's vast rolling mill in Johnstown, with its many related factories and stores and yards, a virtual city of pounding, smoking, roaring work, spreading along a tributary of the Connemara River, known as the Little Connemara, was not only among the largest iron and steel operations in the world, but also the leading innovator in steel production. From
Sample complete. Ready to continue?